And I want to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. One of my little granddaughters come up to me and said, "Happy Pappy's Day. Thank you for raising my daddy." I thought that was pretty good. Or it might have been putting up with my daddy. I'm not sure. I can't remember for sure what she said. But fathers are just wonderful. Psalms 37. And I'd like to read in your hearing, beginning in verse 23. Psalms 37, beginning in verse 23. And here's what it says. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Now, I thought a little bit as I thought about Father's Day, and I wanted to bring a message related to Father's Day, and I remembered Mother's Day, and I remembered my text, and boy, what a text it is, in Proverbs 31, where it starts off by saying, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And then all the things that are shared there, and I love that text. And the thought come to my mind, I would love to find a passage that says, "Who can find a virtuous father or a virtuous man?" And you know as well as I did when the thought crossed my mind is that it's not in the Bible that way. It is in the Bible the challenge to be virtuous, and particularly it is so in the book of Philippians, and I'll read this very familiar verse in your hearing in the 4th chapter in verse 8. And it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So we get something of an idea about what virtue means. It is conformity to a biblical standard of morality and strength and courage. In other words, it's really one with character is what it is. And so even though we don't find that in the Bible worded exactly that way, I can say that who can find a virtuous man? It's not coming from a scripture, but coming from my mouth this morning. They are their value is above rubies or anything of great value. And I can say that because the Bible bears that out all throughout the scriptures. But this morning, as we think about this passage of scripture, I want to share some things that have been on my mind related to it. Number one, it takes a good man to make a good father. That's just the way it is. It takes a good man to make a good father. And so I want to start from this passage of scripture, and I want to share with you some thoughts on a good man. What is a good man? What is a good man? Every once in a while, I'll use this term. Somebody, one of the fellows will say, "I did this or that," or they'll do something, and I'll say, "You're a good man." I say it often, and I remember saying it to one of our men not long ago, and the response from that was, "Well, there's no demand for them." And I don't know, that might be true in some sense, but I say that every once in a while. to someone, you're a good man. What is a good man? What is a good man? And I think we can learn something this morning as we think about especially what the Bible has to say. Now, I want to tell you that, first of all, there is a definition of a good man in the world. And what I mean by that is in the world that doesn't use the Scripture as the standard for what a good man is. And, of course, there's opinion all in the world related to just about everything. And so there is in the world an opinion as to what a good man is. I thought I'd do a little research and see what I could learn about what a good man was according to the world. What I discovered was that most of that, just about all of the comments related to what a good man, come from a woman looking for a man. What is the qualities of a good man when they're looking for a good man? And I thought it was really interesting, these traits of what a good man is. I remember a conversation. My son Greg got probably one of the best compliments he could ever get. I don't know whether he knew he got it or not. I overheard it. But his two girls were discussing the difficulty in finding a good boy, you know, to be their boyfriend. They were discussing that. And they were talking about their frustrations along the way. And then I think it was Addison, I can't remember for sure which one, said, "Dad, you really messed us up." And what they meant was, that was their standard. And you know, I remember a psychology class, and this is one thing I remember about it, that little girls, they really look up to their daddy. They really look up to their daddy. And they want to find someone that's just like their daddy. So if you're a good dad, then your girls are going to be looking for those traits and qualities in somebody that they're seeking. So it's a good motivation to be a good dad. Of course, I never had any girls, so I didn't. I don't think my boys used that for a standard. But they did find good girls. They ain't no doubt. I've said this before. You know, if they come to me and said, "Dad, go around the world, whatever you've got to do to find me a good girl," that I couldn't have done any better job than they did. I love my daughter-in-laws. I call them my daughters, and think they're good girls, and they're both members of Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's great, you know. But anyway, I thought this was interesting, and I'll share with you a little bit this morning about what the opinion of a good man would be, what it was related to these ladies who were looking for a good man. And I wrote them down. This is what they are: caring, kind, compassionate, patient, trustworthy, responsible, dependable, intelligent, and honest. Well, we might say, maybe your granddaughters was right. There might not be too many of them around, you know. And there might not be, but there are. I know lots of boys and men who maybe do not claim to know the Lord that fall into these categories. They're just good people. They're really, really good people. And so these things are there: trustworthy, dependable, and honest, and those kind of things. And so that's something that is the opinion of the unregenerate world. And of course, you come up with the fact that this is rare. But I've known some Christian men who weren't very dependable and weren't very honest and weren't very trustworthy. I've known some. And I'm not passing judgment. It was just a fact. And they might be men that somebody would tell you in a heartbeat that they weren't all these things. And that's sad. That's a bad witness and everything. So that's something of the world's definition of a good man. And I appreciate good men of the world if they're not saved. It's a better world if there's people that are like that. We wish everybody would be that way. Everybody would be that way. But what about the Scriptures? Now, I may surprise you this morning, as we look to the Bible to discover what a good man is. Now, I want to share with you some scripture. The first one is going to come from the book of Romans. And I'd like to remind everybody, you know, people every once in a while will say, "Preacher, you turn to these passages of scripture faster than I can find them and follow you, and I'm missing stuff you're saying related from digging in the Bible." Well, I want to give you a little advice. Always have in your Bible a piece of paper and a pencil when we start our worship experience. And you just write the reference down and then keep listening if that's what you like. Because I'm not going to slow down any as far as turning to the Bible. Let me read this really familiar passage. And this is in Romans chapter 3. And I'll read verse 10 through verse 18. Now remember what we're doing right now. We're going to look at the Bible. We're going to see what the Bible says a good man is. And keep in mind as we go along that good men make good fathers. It takes a good man to make a good father. And so here's what Paul says about it, in beginning in verse 10, reading through verse 18. "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." I want you to keep in mind that he's making reference to the unregenerate in the world apart from the dealing of the Holy Spirit in their life. They're not looking for God. Well, we've got a world full of people like that. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now listen to that. That's what Paul says about that. He goes on to say, "Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongue they have used for deceit, and poison of asp is under their lip, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Well, you would come to the conclusion that in the unregenerate world, there is no good men. Now, this is God's standard now. We may have a standard of what a good man is, but God, this is what God says. There's none good. He said that. God said that. In the unsaved world, there is none good. Now, I want to read from Matthew. This is Matthew in chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19, and let's see what Jesus says about that. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. And I preached from this passage not long ago, and it's about the rich young ruler. And it says in verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. And he said, and that is God." There's none good, he said. There's none good but one. So what did Jesus say about that? Well, Jesus said there just wasn't any in this sense of interpreting that. There wasn't any that's good. Then I'm going to share one with you. This is from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's in chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and it is found in the 20th verse, chapter 7 and verse number 20. And here's what it says. Now listen to this real careful. "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Now do you believe that's a fact? You better believe it's a fact, because it's exactly what the Bible said. So when we look at those passages of Scripture, we must come to the only logical conclusion we can come to, that apart from knowing the Lord as your personal Savior, there's none good in the eyes of God. Now there may be good people in the eyes of others around us, but this is a standard of the Word of God. So what is a good man? Well, our text says, even though these passages we've read said there's not any, the text says, there is. There is good men on this earth. So what makes him a good man in our passage of Scripture we have before us? Well, it's pretty obvious. It says here that his steps are ordered of the Lord. That's what makes him a good man. His steps are ordered of the Lord. In other words, it's talking about the providence of God. And you know, I preach this all the time, and I'll just tell you that it's not preached everywhere. It's preached really in this modern day of ours by very few preachers of the gospel. I believe that if there's anything good in you and good in me, that I know God caused it. He did it. I'm a firm believer in the providence of God. And you may remember a little text that I preached for several weeks from in the book of Titus in chapter 2, that Jesus came to purify unto himself a peculiar, meaning specially loved, people zealous of good works. So he's in the process of working in people's lives to make them what he wants them to be. I believe that very firmly. And so this is what this says here in this passage of Scripture. Now I want to share with you another passage related to what I just said here about this is what makes him a good man, is his steps are ordered of the Lord. In Jeremiah, over a few pages from where we are, and in the 10th chapter, is a powerful statement made in verse 23 and verse 24 of the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. Now here's what it says. I want you to listen carefully. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Do you believe that? Sure you do. It's what the Bible says. In other words, it's not in man, it's not in me, it's not in you to direct his steps. We can't do that and with any certainty because we are uncertain about so many things in the path that we travel. How many of us this morning would say, you know, I've gone through life and I've messed up a lot of times. I've really messed up because I didn't know the way to go. I didn't know what was right and what was wrong in something. I couldn't see the future. I'm not omniscient. I don't know these things. That's what the Bible means when it says that. In other words, it's not in me to direct my steps. But I got to tell you something. It's in the Lord to direct our steps. And so this is what it says in defining a good man. His steps are ordered of the Lord. That's what the Bible is telling us here. And so in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it's not in man. It's not in him to direct his steps. And he goes on in the next verse and says, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in anger, lest you bring me to nothing. In other words, Jeremiah was saying, this being the case, this is what I want. I want you, Lord, to direct my way. How many of us would say that in our prayer this morning, Lord, I want you to direct my way. I want you to order my path before me. And if we have any sense this morning, we'd want that and we'd pray for that. And I love, you don't have to turn to this passage, I'll quote it. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You see? So we can have it if we desire that along that way. And so this man, a good man, he's a good man because God orders his steps. Now, I found out something. One of the men Sunday, I can't remember which one did, but they made a remark about a Greek word and actually shared what that Greek word was and made them remark something like, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can look it up. I believe it was Ronnie who did that. And you know that's true. If you say, I want to be able to look up the original word, I want to be able to look up how it's used in the Bible, all the other renderings of that word, and most of the time in the Greek, it won't be the same in your Bible. It'll be different. And it makes a lot of difference in the meaning of those words. And if you don't know how to do it, I'll teach you how. I'm not a Greek scholar either, Brother Ronnie, but I did learn how to look it up. I learned how to find out what I needed to know about the original language. I had Greek in Bible college, And I come out of there, and here's what I learned. That the first letter of the Greek language is Alpha, and the last one's Omega. Of course, I found that out because the Bible taught me. But I had one of the most awesome teachers ever was. Dr. Leo Edelman. I'll never forget him. I'll never forget him. He was such an awesome teacher. And that class, everybody looked forward to that class. Everybody. I never will forget the very first time that I went to that class, and he was in a wheelchair, of course. He could barely walk. And he's not only a Greek scholar, but he was a Hebrew scholar too. He actually pastored the Baptist church in Jerusalem at one time. And he was also, he had two doctor's degrees, one in engineering and one in religious matters and everything. He was at one time the president of Georgetown College. And he was such a wonderful man. And I never will forget the first class. He took that passage that says, "He that is born of God sinneth not." And he said, "Men, whole denominations have been built on a misinterpretation of that statement." And wheeled around in his wheelchair on the blackboard, and he showed us the meaning of that. "Preacher, can you tell us?" "You sure can." "He that is born of God don't keep on sinning." It's a continuous action verb. And so I learned a lot, but I'm not a Greek scholar. But I want to tell you something about this word here, ordered. And I want you to listen carefully because this is full of meaning. This word ordered in the Hebrew, you see there's a difference between leading and ordering. Leading and ordering. Now I knew this before I looked it up. That, you know, we love to think about the Lord leading us, right? "He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh word with heavenly comfort from..." We love singing that song, don't we? We like to sing about leading us. Leading us and ordering us are different. This word ordered here, not only does it take in leading, but it also takes in providence related even to that which is the future. You know, how many of us have gone through life and we would seek the Lord's will about this or that, and I know that many of you have done what I've done over the years. We struggle, we want to know what the Lord's will is, and we pray about it and plea, and we read the Bible and study. We want to know the Lord's will for us in a certain way and everything. How many of you have gone through life and some direction, path that you took in life, you look back and you see, in looking back, you see something you didn't see at the time, you know. And even you say, "Well, what about when we've made a wrong direction or whatever?" Well, you know, I say this all the time, all things work together for good for them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So even if we've made a little wrong turn, there was no worldly song that said, "I made a little wrong turn, I got lost." I can't remember. I probably shouldn't make reference to an old worldly song. But it was a truck driver, made a little wrong turn, got lost in a long way. But even when we make mistakes, folks, let me tell you something. When we make mistakes in life, we learn from them. We really, really do. We learn from everything, good, bad, or ugly, that comes in our life. And so leading and ordering, and what I mean by that ordering is God establishing the way of this man. Establishing the way of this man is the meaning of that. And it includes the providence, God's providence working in our path. I love that word, providence. I love it. Oh, you say, "Preacher, has it always brought you great blessings?" Not necessarily, but I needed what it brought about. I really did as I look back. So this is an awesome word. Now let me give you this. This word, when I look this word up, here are the words that it's rendered in the English Bible from that Hebrew word. Here are some words in the English Bible. Prepare, establish, fix, fashion, and confirm. You say, well, preacher, that is different, isn't it? Yes, it is. In other words, that's all that this means, men, in your life, when these things are taking place in your life. To prepare, I found that it is in my King James Version of the Bible 85 times from that Hebrew word. The word establish in my Bible is 58 times from that Hebrew word. Boy, does that ever make a difference. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do is I'll take you through a little journey in the Bible where we find words that are the same as ordered. Now, first of all, I'm going to read one in Genesis and chapter 41. In Genesis chapter 41, and I'm going to read verse 25 through verse 32. Now, you may remember this. It hadn't been long ago since I preached a series on the life of Joseph, and I was preaching about God's providence. Boy, did I ever learn a lot. Praise the Lord, I learned a lot. But here's a little bit from that, and it's when Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh had a dream about the corn and the cattle, and he did not know what it meant. And so he gets Joseph, and here's what it reads, beginning in verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. He had two, but it was all the same meaning. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine, that's cattle, that come up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing, Joseph said, which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty, enough out of the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. That word established is the same Hebrew word as ordered. We would know that. This was what was ordered by God. This was what was coming in the future. Men, let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that a good man is one whose future is ordered. Not just daily, but his future. And God's setting that path and pattern. Now let me give you another one right quickly. 2 Samuel, and I'm going to read a verse in chapter 5. In the book of 2 Samuel, and in chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And here's what it says related to that. I'll start with the 12th verse. I'll read the 12th verse. This is about David that was the king of Israel. And verse 12, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. The word established is the same as ordered. Preacher, why are you taking so much time for that? I'm telling you, a good man is a man whose steps are established. You say, even before I take them? Yes, before you take them. Everybody, let me tell you something, and I preach this all the time, God does everything with purpose. And he saved you, men, with purpose. And he's in the process of ordering your steps, establishing your steps, preparing your steps. That's how you define a good man according to the Bible, according to God's word. Then in 2 Samuel also, in chapter number 7, and this really makes the point. And here's what it says in verse 12. And when the days were fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Establish is the same word. Verse 13, and he shall build a house for me, for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. In verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. All of them are the same words as ordered. God's saying, I'm ordering it. It's going to happen. I'm ordering it. And then another one is in verse 24, for thou hast confirmed, now that's a different word. It's the word confirmed. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. Then in verse 26, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is a God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. And I've got, hey, listen, folks, I got a bunch more, but I don't have time. But I want you to understand something. The definition in the Bible of a good man is not necessarily all those things which the world may say makes a good man, and they are good. Praise God for them. Honesty and dependability and intelligent and all of those things. They're good things. They're a good thing. But the Bible says a good man is somebody God is ordering and establishing and setting their path in the future. Isn't that awesome? That's what it is. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good man. Sue tells me I'm a good man all the time, but it's because she loves me. She just thinks I'm wonderful, and I'm just glad to tell you what she thinks, and she may tell you different directly. But a good man, according to God's word, men, listen, is a man whose steps are ordered of the Lord. He's making out of you what he would have you to be. And you know, we can resist that. We can maybe want to go our own path. And we're capable of it, right? We're capable of it. But I want you to know there's something else here. Verse 24, it says, last part of verse 23, and he delighteth in his way. You know, for a long time I wondered, is that God or is that the man? Well, you know what I'm telling you, it's both. It's God first. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to delight in my way because he's made my way. I want him to delight. I want to please the Lord. I really, really do. You all listen, let me tell you something. It won't be long till I won't be here no more. Even if time goes on and the Lord delays his coming, it's still, relatively speaking, it won't be very long and I won't be here anymore. But you know what? I'll be in glory forever and forever and forever and forever, all eternity. That just blows my mind, but it will be. And you know what? I'll look back like you on the time that we spent here and how short it was, relatively speaking. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't mess up. Don't meet the Lord and not, where you've not paid any attention to the path you've taken in life. Don't do that, because you may lose all your rewards, even if you're there. And verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, I want to tell you all something about that word fall. It's not utterly. It's not total. You say, how do you know that? I know it because of the text. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord holds him with his hand. Now, here's what this means. I remember when Greg and Tim, and then my grandchildren, we'd go somewhere, and they could walk, but they wouldn't. Walking real good, and they sure wouldn't have a hard time keeping up with an adult. And so you reach and get a hold of their hand. You see people doing that all the time. And you get a hold of their hand, and maybe you're a little thoughtless or whatever, and you walk a little too fast, and buddy, they get tangled up, and down they go, but they don't go utterly down because you're holding their hand. Isn't that good? That's what the Bible says. Men, if your steps are ordered, listen, if you're saved, I want you to understand something. He owns you. He's bought you and paid for you with the ultimate price. You are not your own, the Bible says. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, then that's the case. He's ordering your steps. And if you can't say that's true, I'm going to tell you this morning, you have no assurance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you do or don't, but you don't have any assurance of it if that's not true in your life. That's where the assurance that we have comes from in that. So this morning, I'm telling you, and there's a whole lot more I'd like to share with you, but I don't have time. But here's what I want you to know. It takes a good man to make a good father. The Bible's told us that. It takes a good man to make a good father. Oh, thank God for our fathers. Thank God for His providence in ordering your step. And if you're a saved father this morning, I want you to think about, if you have to get off to yourself somewhere to do it, say, Lord, thank you for saving my unworthy soul. Help me to hang on. You're holding my hand, but help me to hang on and help me to be the kind of man that I need to be according to the Word of God. Father, we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for all the truth that is found here and how you've blessed us with these truths. Thank you, Father, for showing me in such detail what a good man is. Thank you for showing us this morning what it means to have our steps ordered. And I know I've preached this for our men and our fathers that are present, but Lord, I want to make sure that it is applied to every person, the men and the women and the young people. Lord, this is what you save us for. Help us to understand that. Help us to be yielded to you. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that hadn't been, if they need to come up and take the preacher's hand and say, I want you to pray for me, they might want to do that and go back to their pew. There may be someone here that has never made a profession of faith. There might even be someone here that you've saved and they've not yet done that and followed you in scriptural baptism and membership in one of the Lord's churches. Oh God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Help us to do those things and make those decisions that are in your will. We don't want to be stumbling. We want to hold our head up and walk through this life looking forward to being with you in eternity. So bless us as we sing this closing number. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Would you stand with me now while Brother Aaron leads us in a closing number?